Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break. And best to you.
So my question for those two teams is, does the adrenaline wear off from those two deals and they kind of come down to a more, you know, kind of level performance? Mm-hmm. Or are those two high level teams headed into next season?
I would say the Lakers more than the Warriors.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, you're playing with Luka Doncic. You got one of the best players on your team. You still have a good young core with Reeves, Connect. You still have LeBron performing at a high level, even though he's getting older. Obviously, you guys know I like Jimmy Butler and the Warriors, but I still feel like they haven't even done anything this offseason. Like, who are they getting? They haven't done nothing.
They're dealing with the Jonathan Kuminga situation.
Yeah, well, they got to figure it out. But
I mean, they do, and I guess they don't, because
you don't have to pay them.
They have that qualifying offer, and just like, sign it. Like, you right now, it appears you have no market outside of this. Mm-hmm. So what are we supposed to do? Outbid ourselves?
No.
You sign that, and we'll figure it all out later. I am actually in agreement with you. I think the Warriors, of those, particularly of those two teams, they're the ones who might not be as good as they were when they first acquired Jimmy. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to be nearly as bad as they were before acquiring Jimmy, but I think they're just going to wind up being like, it's a fine basketball team. Jimmy's a good player. You're talking 82 games now versus 30 or 40 or whatever it was at the time. So you're talking, you need a little, especially when you got guys, you know, well into their 30s like this, you need a little bit of luck. You need a lot of health. You need some things to go your way. The Lakers are the team where it's like they've gone out, they've done a couple of things, but you've got this centered on Luka Doncic, Austin Reeves, and I'm assuming LeBron James. And I think it's a team that's, you know, staring at the third seed again, a potential third seed again.
I know the West is tough, but I think the, like we mentioned, I think the Lakers are in a better position than the Warriors. They still have to make some moves. Just going back to that Warriors thing, you know, one thing people don't talk about was at the start of their season when they were playing good, they had Melton. He was doing great for them. He was playing good on offense and defense. People don't talk about how that injury really kind of derailed them and really set them up for that kind of downfall they had going. This is random.
Yeah, no, it's fair.
Yeah, I was just thinking.
It's a fair assessment. But you talk about, and this is such a running commentary about the Western Conference, and the West is tough. And you know, you got Cooper Flagg there with Dallas. That was a play-in team. That team might still be at the bottom of the play-in. You know, with
Kyrie still out.
Yeah, with Kyrie still
Anthony
out.
Anthony Davis always in and
Anthony
out of the
Davis,
lineup.
You never really know. Anthony Davis has already had a procedure this offseason.
Yeah. D'Angelo Russell, who has his ups and downs a lot, he's really inconsistent at times.
Probably a decent fill-in for Kyrie Irving for a year. They're interesting, but I still see them as a play-in team. Obviously, you got Sacramento right there. Memphis, I don't know what to make. I know what to make of Memphis. There are two teams that I will never, ever pretend to be an expert on. Memphis and Minnesota. Because I don't think there's anything either one of those two teams could do to get me to really buy into them.
Question, Deal. Why are you against Minnesota? Because you have a great young star in Anthony Edwards. You got Gobert, who can play defense. You have Daniels, who's a good two-way defender. Like, they have pieces there. Just curious why you're against
them. There's something that doesn't – I don't know what they need to bring it all together, mm-hmm. but whatever it is, they don't have it. They have the guy.
Yeah.
And Minnesota's at the point where I said this last year. They went to was it Minnesota and Oklahoma City?
Minnesota beat Oklahoma last time.
No. In the conference finals. Was that Minnesota and Oklahoma City last year?
I can't remember.
Because I was the person who will tell you Minnesota, Anthony Edwards could hold the Larry O'Brien trophy. And confetti falling down at the Target Center, I'd be like, yeah, I don't believe it.
That was them in the Western Conference Finals. So we talked about
2 years in a row, right? Yeah. 2 years in a row they've been – I do it again.
Do it a third time.
Well, they beat a Lakers team that never got back to what they looked like before LeBron got hurt,
right,
and the Steph was hurt. So it's like they kind of just fell into the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, I just don't buy that basketball team. And again, I don't know. You asked why. I just feel like they're missing something that
I don't know what it could be, because you have a veteran
needs
point
to
guard,
come together.
Mike Conley, you have Rob Dillingham behind him who could add a spark. You have DiVincenzo, good 3-and-D. So, I guess I'm just buying more stock in T-Wolves.
Yeah. That's fine. You and Kenny can you you Kenny and Alex Rodriguez can be all in on Minnesota. Hey, but Minnesota and Memphis, I'm just like, I'm not sure.
Hey, deal, not to backtrack too much, but since we're talking about the Western Conference, what do you think Portland Trailblazers are going to do next season? Because at the end of the season, they were looking like they're finally putting it together.
Yeah.
I know they're still young and developing, but do you think they could take a leap this upcoming season? Kind of like the Rockets, because Rockets, they were learning, and then they finally played together and got the 2 seed. Do you think
they finished with 36 wins last year? Mm-hmm. Define leap for me in number of games. If they won 36, mm-hmm, what would you say the number they have to win for it to be categorized as a leap?
A playoff team is like about 46, 47?
Plus, okay. So Memphis was the 8 seed at 48.
48.
Golden State was the 7 seed at 48. Minnesota was the 6th seed at 49.
Okay.
So you talking, you said 40, that's plus 10. Is that what,
plus 10 is a leap. Yeah.
No, they're not taking a leap.
Oof. Okay.
Can they move forward?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Could I see them at a +4 or a +6, like 40 to potentially an above 500 season at 42-40? Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could definitely see that.
Yeah.
Because
that's the thing Kings got to watch. Because those teams in the West that haven't been doing good, like the Blazers, you're trying to take that next step too, you know?
Yeah. They went on you mentioned it. They went on a pretty decent run the second half of the season to get to that 36 wins. I'm just taking a quick, they had streaks of 4. What is that? 5-6. They won 10 of 11 there in February. Had another stretch where they won 5 out of 6. Then they lost 5 in a row. Mm-hmm. Then they won 4 in a row. Look, oh my God. Listen to this. They win 5 out of 6.
Let's go.
Lose 5 in a row.
Yeah. Yeah.
Win 4 in a row. Lose 4 in a row. Win 2. Lose. Win. Lose. Lose. Win. That's how the season ended. This is a really weird season.
You know,
they lost in bunches. Like, they would lose 6 games in a row, come back, win one, lose 2 more, lose 5 games in a row.
Yeah.
They had 2 losing streaks of 5, 2 losing streaks of 4, and a losing streak of 6. Hell, you eliminate those and you might just be 40 and 42.
Yeah. Low key, not trying to draw comparisons here, but kind of reminds me of the King seasons, because remember, when Doug took over, they had like, that seven win streak.
Yeah,
then
I think
they
it was
lose.
10 of 11, yeah.
And that's what the Kings would do. They would have these streaks where they'd win, and then they'd just fall apart. And then they would just get crazy wins and beat the Cavaliers on a random night.
Yeah.
It's like, what's going on here?
Yeah, that was
We lost to the Hornets, but we beat the Cavaliers. What's going on?
It would be nice this upcoming season to have a season where it's just not so like, what the hell is going on?
The word is consistency.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see. I want to see Zach LaVine show up consistently. I just want to see them put it together, you know?
Yeah, hopefully this offseason can help them do that.
Yeah.
Hopefully this offseason and this training camp can help them find that level of consistency together.
Do you think going into this season, Zach LaVine might play better? Because obviously he had his issues and stuff. Yeah, that's what I want to see. I understand Zach LaVine is married.
I'll go back to the words you just said. I expect him to play more consistent.
There we go. Yeah, because I understand people don't like Zach LaVine's contract. That's understandable. I understand he's not this defensive player. That's not his game. But he is great on offense, and last year he was inconsistent. I want to see him put it all back together, you know, because he is a good three-point shooter. He can get to the line. We can see him score and slash. Like, he's a better offensive player than he showed last year is what I feel.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was pretty good offensively last year, wasn't he?
Yeah, but it was inconsistent. Maybe, some games he didn't show up.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, there were I think a lot was asked last year, and again, I making excuses or giving grace. I don't know which one it is. But last year was such a strange year for everybody involved, including Zach LaVine. I just went to ESPN. He was 23.3 last year, but that includes his game with Chicago. His games with Chicago, I don't imagine he was much different than that. If you split his games between Chicago and Sacramento, I don't imagine they're much different.
And we've seen LaVine, when he has a real point guard next to him, like Lonzo, like he plays good. Like they were a high seed team back when Lonzo was healthy. I know that seems Lonzo, like forever ago, but yeah, they did put together for that time.
Lonzo is definitely more of a general floor general facilitator than Dennis Schroeder is, though Dennis can absolutely be that.
Yeah.
That's why I think this offseason, this training camp is important. And I think if I just wanted to, if I could just encourage Kings fans of one thing, don't let your pessimism regarding the future affect how you might feel about this current team. This current team can make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Maybe they have to make it through the play-in. Maybe they can, you know, fight to 48 wins and get the sixth seed or whatever. Yeah. But this team is, like, for those who want them to just be bad and embrace the tank, like, this isn't the group. No. Like, it's not going to happen with this group.
Yeah.
They got too much money on the books, too many contracts that can't be moved. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot more than Zach LaVine's contract.
Yeah.
So I think this team could wind up, I think they could wind up being okay. Doesn't change the outlook for 5 years, 4 years, 3 years. But for this year, they might be okay to watch.
Yeah. Like you said, there's too much talent there just to tank and lose and bottom out. That's not going to happen. And the biggest thing, another thing to focus on is just them having an offseason together. And Doug having all his coaches and everyone just getting on the same page. Because last year, Doug said it a million times. He was trying to land a plane that
needed repairs. We're trying to fix the plane in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the whole season was falling apart. But I think now with Scott Perry coming in, Doug getting his guys, having a real point guard, I think there is some optimism you can, like, build there.
It's been a long week, Leezy.
Yes, sir.
I'm headed home with this 2022 Pinot Noir from Baker Family Wines, which is right here in West Sacramento. That Baker is Dusty Baker. He has put all of that passion that we have seen so many times on the diamond. He has put that passion and earned him a Hall of Fame baseball career into this winery. He is involved in every single detail that goes in to his winery and into these wines. All of these bottles that you see lined up behind me, these reds, these whites, those rosés, they're all different wines, man. And this bottle I'm holding right here is a 2022 Pinot Noir. This is the bottle that Katie and I are going to open tonight. You could join Dusty's Clubhouse for exclusive releasing and tasting room specials. And speaking of tasting rooms, I heard a rumor that Dusty Baker is going to be in the tasting room on Sunday at 2 o'clock.
Okay.
That's what I've heard. Okay. Sources close to D'Lo and KC tell me that Dusty Baker is going to be out at the tasting room from 2 to 4 this Sunday. If you've never experienced Baker Family Wines, Sunday is the day to do it. It's in West Sacramento. You can go to BakerFamilyWines.com for more details. While you're there, join Dusty's Clubhouse for exclusive releases and tasting room specials. This is my new bag right here. Baker Family Wines. Again, head over to BakerFamilyWines.com, and we will come back. Eddie Gonzalez, big shout out to Leezy for coming to hang out with us on this Friday. Eddie Gonzalez joins us next here to talk more NBA on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Hey there, it's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Comedy Podcast. Tune into our show and join me in making some regrettable decisions. It's available wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, man, we're hanging out, man. I think Eddie going to join us here. Yeah, you never really know, man. Eddie's a busy man. If not, it's all good.
The link is there.
Huh?
So the link is there.
Oh, I was like, I thought you said he's there. I was like, well, I don't see him. Yeah, I mean, if Eddie joins us, great. We'll talk NBA basketball. If not, we'll continue to talk NBA basketball because I'm not sure if you heard or read some of Adam Silver's comments earlier from the league meetings that take place in Summer League. There's been kind of a watchful eye on expansion. And a lot of this speculation was fueled by Adam Silver himself. Adam said, yeah, like once the, you know, once we get the TV deal behind us, then we'll start talking expansion. And well, they did. Like the TV deal is done. So of course everyone's attention shifts towards, all right, expansion. We got Seattle, we got Las Vegas. Those seem like the two most likely teams, likely cities to land franchises. Seattle, and rightfully so, talked about regularly as a team to land an expansion franchise. Las Vegas, obviously, with the success of the Aces, the Raiders, all of that's going on there, though I'm not sure how successful Vegas, the city, is right now, but that's another story. Everybody seems primed for it. And of course, I do believe this is a factor. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not trying to be First Take. I'm not trying to be Stephen A. I think there's a LeBron James factor here. LeBron has made it very, very clear he wants to own an NBA franchise when he's done. Adam Silver once joked, I can't give you an NBA franchise. I think this was when he broke the I can't remember if this was when they won the play-in, or not the play-in, the in-season tournament, or when he set the scoring record. But Adam Silver made some sort of joke of, I can't give you an NBA franchise, so I'm going to give you this instead. And, you know, it was whatever he gave him that day. But there's enough where it's like, okay, there's something here. And it feels like we've talked about expansion in the NBA is almost as if it's a foregone conclusion. Like, it's going to happen. And it's a kind of a multi-layered thing, especially if we're talking Vegas and Seattle, because that type of expansion would require conference realignment. And there's multiple ways. Like, it's not that difficult. You move Minnesota and probably New Orleans, or you move Minnesota and Memphis to the east. Like, it's not that difficult. But it would be some pretty big changes. And again, we have talked about it as if it's a foregone conclusion. Even when we were talking about, not we, but Bobby Marks was talking about the kind of projections of the Oklahoma City Thunder, how the Thunder have, you know, this new arena on the way, which we saw renderings for, and it looks absolutely incredible, and how they've managed their salary cap to when Shea's brand new contract kicks in. They got about 70 something million dollars falling off of the books that same year. How they're going to be able to manage the first years of these extensions with their big three relatively easy, at least for the time being. And one of the things that Bobby noted as a potential influx of cash to the Oklahoma City Thunder is expansion. And again, it's something we have just talked about as if it was a matter-of-fact thing for, it was like 2 years at this point, maybe even longer. And Adam Silver did say the league is taking significant steps towards evaluating expansion. But I'll say this. My man Adam Silver didn't say that with a ton of confidence. Now, I believe 100% of what he said. Like, the NBA is taking steps to evaluate expansion. He said there's no teams locked in. He said there's nothing locked in. I believe him that there's nothing locked in, but I believe that they are looking at Seattle very, very closely, perhaps before they're looking at anyone else. Or keeping an eye on, or while keeping an eye on, Las Vegas. And maybe there's Nashville, maybe there's something or someone else out there, some other city that I haven't heard as much about. But I look at this current period that we're in with the NBA, this current free agency period, the things that we have learned in the last couple of weeks. The escrow account that the players set aside for non-basketball related revenue that didn't hit its projected number. And as a matter of fact, the players pretty much lost all of it. Like a total of, I think it was like $500 million. It's a percentage of each player's contract that goes into this escrow account. Normally they get all of that back. In Steph Curry's case, Steph Curry, who was the highest paid player in the NBA last year, again, it's a percentage of your contract. Steph lost like $5 million of that. $5 million went to an escrow account that he never got back. Normally, you get that back. Sometimes you'll get $1 million or two or whatever it may be, more depending on the type of year you had. So you have that, which in itself is a little unusual. But then you have the news that we got right before the new league year started, right before free agency got underway, which has clearly had a direct impact on the way this free agency period has gone. And it's, instead of the cap going up its usual and maximum 10%, it only went up 7%. So the new TV deal that we have talked about for years and perhaps over-delivered on the, you know, on the amount that is coming in, kicks into effect next year. So there will be some things that are different for the league next season once that gets underway with NBC and Amazon and so on and so forth. But this year, with all of that revenue being down, this year with that cap only being 7%, and with this free agency market being at a standstill and teams trying to figure out how to navigate these first and second aprons, these teams who seem to be terrified of making one poor financial decision. These are the same teams, not all of them, but these are the same teams that regularly made poor financial decisions that were announced within the first 30 seconds of free agency. Now everyone is scared to make that one that will have them sniffing around the first apron or the second apron and deal with the massive consequences that come from being a first or second apron team. And Seattle and Vegas are hanging on every owner's meeting. They're hanging on every word of Adam Silver, and they're probably wondering, like, yo, what changed? Now, maybe not much. Maybe Adam starts this, maybe the NBA starts this exploratory process headed into next year where they expect the financial revenue to be back up. And there was a couple, there were a couple of other things that I'm watching that I thought were really funny that Adam Silver said coming out of these league meetings during this press conference. One of them was he talked about Portland. Now, Portland is in the news for a variety of different reasons, mostly right now because Dame Lillard is headed home. I think that's a great story. Dame was clearly miserable in Milwaukee. That stretch didn't, I mean, he had hopes of being traded from Portland to Miami. That didn't wind up happening. The Bucks come get him. He's under that long contract that he signed with Portland essentially right before asking out and suffers the Achilles tear. The Bucks make the incredible decision to waive him, pay out his salary, stretch provision, all of that stuff, and allow him to sign wherever he wants to. As Shams Charania reported yesterday, there were a variety of different contenders. One of them probably being Jesse's Boston Celtics, who offered league minimum or near league minimum deals to grab Dame services for the next couple of years. Portland came back with something much stronger. I mean, Dame, I think, I can't remember the number. I think it was like $131, $141 million over the next 2 years. Because of the money that he's getting from Milwaukee and now the money that he's also getting from Portland. Portland willingly paying him this year to not step foot on their floor just to bring him back home. And when the league year starts, when the regular season starts, You don't think they're going to introduce Dame Lillard at that first game in Portland? Even though he ain't going to be playing? Oh, yeah, they absolutely going to do that. So that's all within the last 24 hours. But you rewind back to Tuesday, and Adam Silver, following these league meetings, says in a press conference that Portland is in desperate need of an updated arena. Now, Portland is going through, you know, they aren't going through, but will likely be going through a sale process and all of these different things. And he's pointed out part of that, you know, one of the factors going into this process is going to be the fact that Portland needs an updated arena. They either need to do something about this one or they need a brand new arena. That same day, just hours earlier, the WNBA announced that the Portland Fire are returning. For those who don't remember the long, prestigious run of the Portland Fire, and Trista, I apologize for going at your city. This isn't about your city. It's just about business. For those that don't remember the long, 2-year run of the Portland Fire. Well, good news, they're coming back to the W. Because in addition to Seattle, the Pacific Northwest needs a Portland team. Hours later, Adam Silver says the Portland Arena needs to be updated. Now, I'm not sure if the Fire are playing in the Blazers Arena, but I couldn't help but find that fascinating. I'm absolutely not rooting for any franchise in the WNBA to fail. But I'm watching this Portland thing closely because I can't fathom. I can't figure out how you would be so quick to reward a team to a city who just did not show out for their franchise the first time they had them. We've talked about rerunning Houston. Houston, we learned after the selection, was one of the finalists. And that the Rockets owner, Fertitta, he was behind the pitch to bring the Comets back. I don't know. That's a no-brainer to me. I'm fascinated by how you went with Portland over Houston. And I'm fascinated how the commissioner of the NBA would just say hours later that, yeah, Portland's going to have to figure out its arena situation. All of that goes back to we may have jumped the gun on this expansion conversation. Adam Silver may have jumped the gun a year ago when he started talking about expansion. And there, another thing that came out of Tuesday that we touched on a little bit yesterday, Adam Silver is so desperate to get rid of regional sports networks and regional sports networks' rights to the NBA. That includes local television. The Kings obviously air on NBC Sports California. If the Kings aired on CBS 13, ABC 10, KCRA 3, name another network, Adam would not be happy about that. I'm not sure what plan Adam Silver in this league has for the fans of Sacramento to consume Sacramento Kings content. Clearly he has one. And he might be in the slow process of pitching this to the different teams around the league. Maybe he's already pitched it to the different teams around the league. He used the phrase earlier this year that teams are held hostage by regional sports networks' rights. That's strong wording. They're When I tell you that that man does not like the network in which you watch your basketball team play, I could not possibly mean it more. held hostage and reevaluate are things that he continues to repeat. Maybe not held hostage. He said that once. But reevaluate is something he continuously talks about when he talks about the state of the league. He wants these regional sports deals gone. But in order to eliminate them, you have to have a plan. You can't tell the Sacramento Kings, hey, you can't get paid by NBC Sports California anymore without telling them this is how you're going to get paid. And again, maybe he's already done that. And maybe franchises are like, yeah, I don't know if my fan base is going to buy into that. Because what I'm wondering is he pitching some sort of streaming package? Some sort of NBA.com streaming package where every Kings fan who wants to watch their team on a night-to-night basis has to subscribe to something on NBA.com. Or maybe you have to subscribe to something through YouTube TV or Apple TV or HBO Max or whatever. Like, I'm a Sacramento Kings fan. I have to go here and buy essentially a league pass to watch the Sacramento Kings. And that's how the Sacramento Kings make money. And when they go to commercial breaks, they control who the ads go to. Because right now, I believe that NBC Sports California, using them as the example, I believe they're in charge of the ads. Now, the Kings might have 30 seconds per break. Maybe they have a minute per break. Maybe there's something that the Kings get. Maybe that's where those Golden One Center ads come from. Maybe that's where some of the team store ad comes from. Who knows? But the rest NBC Sports California. If it's streaming, then the team can control everything, thus getting all the revenue from it. But the question is that enough to offset the loss of these networks not paying the rights to air these games anymore? I haven't understood for years why the Sacramento Kings or why any sports team continues to sign deals with AM radio. This includes us. We're on 1320 AM. I don't understand why the Kings continue to air their games on Sports 1140 or Sactown Sports or whatever it's called now. I don't understand why they do that. Why don't they create their own streaming platform, control all of the ads, and allow people to listen on their phone or allow people to listen in some other way? I feel like there is such a small number of people that listen to this stuff on the radio that you could gather a significantly larger number of people if you had a Sacramento Kings streaming option on a Sacramento Kings app. And that goes, that holds true for a variety of different teams. That holds true for most teams. I don't understand the value in that anymore. If you're a team, I certainly understand the value for 1140. I understand the value for the home network of a team. I understand it for them. I don't understand it for the franchise. In 2025, I don't understand the value of it for a franchise. I told you earlier how we need to throw 1320 AM away. I don't listen. When I listen to the Insiders, I'm listening on 98.5 FM HD2. I'm listening on the iHeart app on my phone. That's how I'm listening to the Insiders every day. When I leave here and I get in my car, it's on 98.5 FM HD2. 1320, it doesn't matter. We want you to watch the show on YouTube or Twitch. We want you to listen on the iHeart app or the Odyssey app. That stuff can be, this is the part that they don't want us to talk about. They want you to listen to that because they know it's real. When you go to iHeart and you log in and you listen to D'Lo and KC on ESPN Sacramento, They know I'm looking at the streaming number right now. They know there's 1,400. They know there's 1,422 people listening right now. They know that immediately. You know who doesn't want us to know that is these like outdated rating systems that ask people to walk around with little meters in their pocket to determine what they're listening to. You start listening through the apps. You start watching through YouTube. Those businesses become irrelevant for the first time in recent memory in media. They become irrelevant because you're measurable people. And some people are scared to find out, hey, man, not as many people listen to this entity. Like when the rating system switched in radio, they're like, man, I think more it appears more people listen in the afternoon drive than the morning drive. Now, that's not universal across markets, but there's always been this morning drive, morning drive, morning drive. It's like, yeah, I think afternoon drive is bigger. And that's something they figured out when they switched. You imagine how many things they'd figure out if everyone started listening through some sort of app that just determined, wait, one phone logged in, two phones logged in, 1,400 phones are logged in, 15,000 phones are logged in to this show at this time in this moment. Sacramento Kings find out, hey, there's 20,000 people listening to our game right now through this app, through the Sacramento Kings app. Now you have real numbers that you can sell to the pizza guys. You want to reach 20,000 people 82 times a year? That's what you sell to the pizza guys. Some people are scared of real numbers. I think that's what Adam Silver is talking about when he's talking about these regional rights things. Some people are scared to death of real numbers. Because you could tell them, oh, Sacramento Kings fans, man, we're the most passionate fan base. But you can't give them a number. You can't tell them how many people are watching on NBC Sports California. But you could tell them exactly how many people are watching on NBA.com. You can't tell them how many people are watching a game on DVR. You can guess. You have a fairly accurate guess. You can get in the ballpark maybe. Maybe you're just way off. But if you go to the Peacock app, which, by the way, is raising their prices, you know exactly how many people are watching. WWE couldn't wait to tell you how many people watched that show on Netflix on January 6th earlier this year. They couldn't wait to tell you 5-6 million people. Oh, this isn't those old Nielsen raising. These are real people watching our show. They ain't put out a press release since because those real people left. About 3 to 4 million of them just said, ah, that was a cool first show. I'm out. Shout out to my man, SpicyP916. He says, D-Lo, I'm a truck driver and I listen on 1320 AM, a local truck driver. We appreciate you, SpicyP. Look, there's absolutely people that listen on AM radio. And we love you no matter where you listen. I don't care. We'd air on AM forever and I'll be as happy as could be. Just know there's multiple ways that you can listen to us. Just because we're on 1320 AM doesn't mean you can't listen to us on 98.5 FM HD2. Just because we're on 1320 AM doesn't mean that you can't watch on YouTube. But for Adam Silver in the NBA, because you're on NBC Sports California, you can't watch on NBA.com if you live in Sacramento. You can't watch through League Pass. As a matter of fact, if you live in Sacramento, you can't watch for 3 days on League Pass. That's what Adam Silver's talking about. That's why he's saying we're prisoner to these regional rights deals. And Adam's 100% right. But if he's going to ask teams to give up revenue from their local markets, he better have a hell of a plan for him. TC, I see you. We're going to talk to you next. We got the godfather of Sacramento sports media, Sean Cunningham, joining us in about 30 minutes. Phone lines are open for you. It's the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line at 916-909-1320. It's D'Lo and KC here on ESPN 1320.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all got to stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
20. All right, man, let's see what Leezy's talking about here in the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. What did I say? Leezy? My bad. Shout out Leezy, wherever you are. TC, what's good, baby? TC, what's up, man? Hey,
TC.
Hey, Terrence.
He's there.
No, he's definitely there. Hey, TC. Oh, man. Hey, oh, TC, just get back in the car.
This is one of those things where he can't hear us or whatever. He doesn't know we're there yet.
Yeah, no, TC just got back in the car.
So scared, he might say something.
Yeah, he might have just made a delivery or something. He just got back in the car and didn't know we were here.
Should we just wait? Or
no, I kind of want to see where this goes. Hey, Terrence.
Hey, bro. Hey, my bad. Hey, you right. Hey, you hit it on the nose.
Hey.
You hit it on the nose. I was getting back in the car.
See,
hey, look at TC.
TC, you're my – hey, TC, I love you, brother. You're my boy, man.
Yes. Hey, I love you. Hey, listen, I really just called really because I was vibing. We was vibing today, so I really wanted to call you and Jesse and say what's up. Kenny, if you listen to what's up with my two brothers, man. But look, if there's any legs to Simmons' situation, I don't know how much that is. Mm-hmm. I was with y'all on Chris Paul. Like, as far as somebody to mentor the team, Chris Paul comes number one, right? Before Russell Westbrook and the boy Ben Simmons. But if it's Ben Simmons, it's his height, bro, his defense. I know he don't shoot threes, but that 6'10", guarding 1-4, bro, like, we need – hey, Damian, D'Lo, we need that one, bro. Like, seriously.
But, I don't think you've ever called me Damian before. Yo.
He said, hey, Damian.
Yeah.
D'Lo.
Nah. I got you, TC. Appreciate you, brother. Have a great weekend. I don't mind the Ben Simmons conversation at all. I'm sure a lot of fans are tired of hearing his name, but in reality, won't cost much. Clearly, there's not a massive market for him, if there's a market at all. But TC is, I think one thing that's interesting about Ben Simmons, and TC's right, his height, like his defensive ability across multiple positions, his ability to potentially play some at the three, play at the one. There's things he could do. It's not my favorite available point. I mean, everybody knows what my favorite available point guard is, but you know, I love the idea of Chris Paul too. Like, I'd really like to see Chris Paul back in Los Angeles. I haven't evaluated the Clippers roster. If this really is Chris's last year, like, yeah, I'd love to see him back with the Clippers, similar to what Dame's going on right now. Though I don't think Dame is retiring anytime soon. I think he's got plenty of time left. I'd love to see Chris back in L.A., but if he can't be, I know he's going to want to be in California or at least be on the West Coast. I don't think he's going back to Phoenix. So, I'd take Chris Paul in a heartbeat. Absolutely. Let's get Marlon in here, 916-909-1320, Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. Marlon, what's good?
What's up, D'Lo?
How you doing, brother?
Not bad. Just out here delivering packages.
Hey, shout out to all the delivery drivers, man. We appreciate all that you do. As someone who has a delivery driver show up to their house at least 10 times a day, my brother, I appreciate you guys.
That's what's up. So I got a situation for you, considering what happened with Dame Lillard. Any possibility we see Fox back in Sacramento within the next year or two?
That's a good one, man. I saw that immediately pop up in the chatty house right as we were reading the Sham Sharania tweet regarding Dame Lillard. That was one of the first things I saw in the chatty house. I mean, why not? Like, sure. I think. Go ahead, Jesse.
Well, it's like wanted to play for only one coach, right? So you want to play for this one again?
Well, I also think. I mean, there's multiple things at play. One, the circumstances behind Dame getting back to Portland are pretty extraordinary. He has a ton of years left on his deal. He gets traded to Milwaukee. He clearly hates it. It doesn't work out. And then Milwaukee takes the incredible step of waiving him and stretching his contract over the next few years. That is just like we've talked about the stretch provision and waiving and stretching. That doesn't happen a lot. Like, that was an extraordinary step by the Milwaukee Bucks. So, and they did it because he had the Achilles injury. De'Aaron, on the other hand, is up for a contract extension this year. He landed in a place that he landed in the one place that he wanted to go. And I can't really create a situation where I think it happens.
Cass throws it in here in the chatty house. Maybe it's not the right time, but it's like maybe that bridge has been burned.
I don't think the De'Aaron Fox bridge has been burned. No, who burned it?
It just seems like
De'Aaron
a lot
or somebody
of,
else.
Well, I don't know.
I don't think De'Aaron burned it.
It feels like it's a lot of like it was no the King's dysfunction or. Stuff like that.
And that's fine. Like he can and I think in the immediate aftermath of a trade, in even in some cases, the not so immediate aftermath, I think you have like certain feelings. Like anytime you know, whether you request a trade or you get traded without your knowledge, I think you're going to have certain feelings. It's a relationship ending. And when you're in a relationship and it ends, you believe that you're in the right. And if you like, if you're the person who broke up with someone, you have your reasons for doing it and you believe that those reasons are right. If you're the person who was broken up with, you will do what you have to do to rationalize why the relationship ended and how it's not your fault. Like, rarely do both entities take responsibility for why a relationship ended. And I don't think De'Aaron took responsibility for why the relationship ended. I don't think Sacramento took responsibility for why the... I think the Sacramento Kings mostly were just quiet after trading De'Aaron Fox. I don't think they ever said anything. I don't think they ever floated any stories out there. I don't think they tried to influence any sort of narrative. De'Aaron had his feelings about how I felt personally, and that's fine. He's welcome to feel that way. I sat on the phone with him and explained to him why I felt that way. And we had a conversation, and that was it. He feels the way that he does, and I feel the way that I do. So, but I don't think a bridge has been burned. He put out the tweet about, I can't remember, every year, same thing, but I'm the problem, or something like that. I'm pretty sure he deleted that tweet. Which tells me he was emotional. I think De'Aaron Fox is a good dude. I think De'Aaron Fox is a really good basketball player. Maybe even a great basketball player. I'd love for him to be back in Sacramento. But again, let's not forget the extraordinary circumstances that led to Dame going back to Portland. That's not repeatable. That's not repeatable. So that's a long way, Marlon, of probably answering your question with a no. I don't see a situation where anything like that happens. The only time it would is if Scott Perry's back in charge and goes, yeah, I want De'Aaron Fox on this team, and if I can acquire him through a trade, that's what I'll do. There's nothing stopping that from happening, but I don't see it. RH said he also deleted his tweet thanking the fans. I didn't know that. I did not know that. But I like De'Aaron. If San Antonio is his, if San Antonio is truly where he plays next year, I think it'll be a blast to watch him and Steph and who they Dylan Harper and then of course, you know, Wemby. They said what last week, the week prior, Wemby's
been cleared.
Yeah, like it's such a weird thing. Like he had those blood clots that I think they shut Wemby down as a precaution, but I'm glad he's good. I mean, and certainly the Spurs are interesting. I think the next couple of weeks will be interesting. Do we get news that the San Antonio Spurs offered De'Aaron Fox a contract on August 2nd when he's eligible? I think De'Aaron knows if that contract is coming. I think Rich Paul knows if that contract is coming. I think San Antonio knows if they're offering that contract on August 2nd. I wonder how much changed. My feeling is you absolutely signed De'Aaron to that contract. And if, because I'm all about, you know, these young guys they have, but you probably have a better chance. And again, I don't know what San Antonio feels like their timeline is. I don't know what San Antonio feels like they need to do moving forward, but I got De'Aaron, and De'Aaron is right now. Harper, Steph, those guys might be the future. I got De'Aaron, and De'Aaron is right now. Pair him up with Wemby. Let's see what we could do.
Hey, it's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Comedy Podcast. We've been described as unscripted, unqualified, and unapologetic. And that came from my mother. See if you agree. The Commercial Break is available Tuesday through Friday, wherever you get your podcasts.